You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
We're in the middle of a preaching series called Open Skies. Open Skies. We thought that during the summer holidays, where people would be perhaps have a little bit more breathing space, a bit more margin, perhaps you've been away or you're going away, that we would take a minute to remember to look up, to lift our eyes from the rhythm, the routine, society, life gets very claustrophobic and very kind of familiar, and you know, kind of routine takes over, and there's power in rhythm and there's power in routine, but also I feel like sometimes we just need something to snap us out of it, to take a minute to just think and talk the language of faith and possibility instead of our current reality, recognizing that there is a God in heaven who has the power to change things. And so for a few weeks, we've been looking at Abraham's encounters with God several different times in the book of Genesis. I think chapter 12 and 15 and 17 and 19, repeating this this story of God and Abraham having this encounter that really transformed him, his family, and beyond that, which is what we're going to look at today. Is that okay? Is it okay if we do that? I am not designed for solo activities. Metaphorically, I'm not a golfer or a tennis player. I'm more of a footballer. I said metaphorically because you would have said, you're not a footballer either, Reedy. What I'm saying is that, you know, as I was a teenager and in my nearly all of my 20s, the reason why I played for a football team and was in a band was not due to skill. Thank you. Amen. It was not due to my ability to play bass guitar. It was because I love hanging out with people. Here is some evidence coming up on screen. This is me in my 20s in a band. There you go. Over here, same haircut as now, but that time by choice. Which is interesting. We're playing at an event there called Party with a Purpose. Ooh. Yeah, I think I hand-painted that backdrop as well myself, as you can see. There we are in the middle. I don't know why we fought. A band shoot on a bus would be good. I think it's all we could afford. And there on that side, that's me in the bucket hat, wearing the same jeans that I'm wearing today. Praise the Lord. Turns out, kids, if you hold onto your clothes long enough, they come back round in fashion. So this is me. This is how I'm wired. You probably should get rid of those pictures, otherwise no one will listen. But I am wired that way, and it's probably put me at odds with the modern rhetoric, or the rhetoric of modern society. We, as a society, are obsessed with ourselves. We're obsessed with self-help and self-realization and self-certify. And there's many of these phrases that I'm not saying are wrong. I'm just saying that the focus of society can drift into the church as well, where we become self-centered or possibly even selfish. And we wanted to take a moment to remind ourselves as a church that there's more to what God is doing than just ourselves. What God is doing in you is not just about you. Repeat after me, what God is doing in me is not just about me. Point accusingly at the person next to you and say, what God is doing in you is not just about you. The Bible actually says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition. I want you to just close your eyes for a moment and think about the people that God has put in your life. Everyone in the room, front to back, left to right, if you're watching online or if you're listening online, don't do this because if you're driving. But just close your eyes for a moment. Just think about the people that God's put in your life. I'm sure that what will come to mind, who will come to mind, will be your family and your closest friends. And it's good for us to thank God for the people that's put in our lives. But I want you to just push it a little bit wider. Maybe just think outside of that little nucleus, that little circle for a minute, and just think about perhaps the people at work that God has put in your life. Perhaps the people that are studying with you at school or college or university, or perhaps the people that you see on a regular basis outside the school gate. Think about those for a moment. Now maybe go even wider. What about the people that God has put in your life? And even though you may not have considered that language about them, I'm talking about the people that you walk past on the street every day. I'm talking about the people that you drive past in this great city and whatever city you're watching this message from. But I would ask you to think about them through this new filter, that they are the people that God has put in your life. It's more and more obvious the closer you get to the inner circle, but actually every single person that is around and about your life, I believe God has put in your life. You can open your eyes. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 27 says this: all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you has a part of it. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 30 is a really famous verse. It's quoted not just by church history, but actually another couple of times in the Bible, this verse is quoted. It's this idea that one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. This idea that with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, one person living out the purposes of God in their lives has the potential to affect 1,000. It's not a science, it's a metaphor for doing something great that would even represent 1,000. And yet the Bible says when two come together, it's not 2,000, it's not addition, it's actually multiplication. Actually, if we get our eyes off ourselves and onto the others around us, we will actually see God at work in a supernatural multiplying way and see the goodness of God, not just to 1,000, but to 10,000. And there are so many people in this city and beyond that need to know about Jesus, because what God is doing in you is not just about you. 3 weeks ago, Pastor Mark preached a message, Look Again. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Stuart, a message, Look Up. It's this whole idea that Abraham's God encounter had an impact on his life. And we wanted this week to acknowledge that what God is doing in you is not just about you. I don't know how it looked for Toba and Abimbola years ago when God began to do something in them that has ultimately caused them to get up and leave Africa and come and live in the UK, in Manchester, and be a part of our church. And we're super grateful to God for your obedience and your sacrifice, and we love that you did it. But what we can also see is that it's not just been about you, it's been about us. I could say the same about Lincoln and Pamela. In fact, I could say the same about probably every chair, that whatever God has been doing in you is A, real, but B, not just for you. Think right now about what God is doing in you, where he's brought you from, where you are right now, what you're looking in down the barrel of tomorrow, and recognize that whatever it is God who's doing something in you, but also it's not just about you. Should I labor it one more time? Oh, sorry, I wasn't asking you permission. It sounded like I was. Say out loud, what God is doing in me is not just about me. There are four things that I observed from Genesis chapter 12, where Abraham had this first of four different times we've been looking at through this series, this God encounter. And it showed me clearly that when we look up, we also have to look out. The messages have been look up, look again. Next week, Pastor Joel, look in. But this week's message is called look out, because we recognize when we have a God encounter, when we realize that God is real and relevant, and we have to respond with the way that we live, is that it's not just about us, but it's actually about the people around us. Your family, your friends, but even wider than that. So here's the account, Genesis 12, verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, that was his name. Another God encounter is where he changed his name, but at this point his name's Abram. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. There is the language already of more than just you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Again, the language of not just you, but all peoples. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. That's his nephew. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife, Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired, and they set out for the land that God had promised them, and they arrived there, the Bible says. Abram, soon to be named Abraham, not only looked up and had this God encounter, but it would seem from these verses that he also looked out. What he was doing in breaking out of the familiar and breaking out of the known and the current reality, he was getting a breakthrough, but his breakthrough was not just for him. To break through into something new, you sometimes have to break out of something old. And it's so easy for us to just be familiar with a small world and a small circle, and it's just me and my stuff and me and my problems and me and my people, when actually God is saying, look up. And when you do that, it just forces you to look out. You can't look out when you're looking down, but as you look up, you all of a sudden can see the horizon. You can see the landscape, and that's what this series is all about. He's saying, hey, this summer, let's lift our heads. Come on, September's coming. We'll be back into the rhythm, back into the fast lane before you know it. But let's take a minute to look up and encounter God so that we can also look out. Here's the first thing. When I look out, I see beyond myself. When I look out, I see beyond myself. God says to him, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. This revelation was not just about Abraham, it was about the nation. Like, would we think for a moment that we have the ability to influence or shape a nation? I mean, think about that for a moment. We can sometimes struggle to get out of bed. And tonight, I'm preaching a message. What does the Bible say about success? And I'm aware that sometimes success is just that. It is getting up and getting out of bed. And I'm not minimizing that, but I'm just saying that the way God is speaking to Abraham is a picture or a prophetic word for us, Audacious Church, that we have the calling and the mandate, if you like, to even influence a nation. Come on, the nation of Great Britain and the nations of the world, whatever nation has a place in your heart because it's where you're from, God wants to use you to even influence that. When I look out, I see beyond myself. 92 million selfies are taken every day. That accounts for a third of all photographs taken on any given day. I want to take a selfie right now of you and the whole church. How do you feel about that? Ready? Right, give us a wave and make some noise. Oh, you were doing it, sorry. It literally looks like no one's doing anything on here. Ready? And again, wave. There you go, I've just joined 92 million other people in doing that. Gen Z apparently takes 3 times more selfies than millennials, and millennials already take a lot more than Gen X. In other words, society is what? We're feral. The Gen X is a feral. Good. 40 deaths per year are attributed to selfies. Give me a wave if you've ever come close. Come on now, you're walking down the street and who's walked into an actual lamppost? My daughter definitely has. I remember Willow doing that wherever she is. She's probably dying of embarrassment wherever she is right now. Recently, Pastor Glynn put Maslow's hierarchy of needs on screen, and he was talking about this social comment or this this study that talks about self-actualization being the top of the pyramid. That's where you've made it as a human being. That's where all your needs have been met. But I reckon that Maslow missed a higher level than that. It's called group actualization. Because I reckon God designed us to be a part of something bigger than just ourselves. And if our pursuit, if the top of the triangle, the top of the pyramid is self-actualization, then I think we're missing the heart of God for this city, for this church, for these people, for your small group, for your family. Because actually, God, when we look out, we actually see beyond ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What has your attention this summer, Audacious Church? What has your focus? What's the goal of your life? There's a brilliant example in the Old Testament of a leader called Joab. And he was one of David, King David. Pastor Glenn was talking about David and Goliath just a few minutes ago. And sometime later in that narrative, David becomes king. And he has like a captain of the army, and his name's Joab. And he personifies, he illustrates brilliantly how when you look up and have a God encounter, it causes you to take your eyes off yourself. Let me just tell you this quick story. It says this in 2 Samuel 12, 26. Meanwhile, Joab was fighting against an enemy of King David, and he captured the royal fortifications. But instead of taking the glory, instead of taking the selfie over the enemy, the Bible says this: Joab sent messages to tell David, "I've fought against the enemy and I've captured its water supply. Now bring the rest of the army and capture the city. Otherwise, I will capture it and I will get the credit for the victory." Isn't that cool? He was like, this is not about me. This is about the team. This is about the kingdom. This is about taking forward the kingdom. And I don't want to get the credit. I didn't get into this game so that everyone could celebrate me. I'm not after subscribers. I'm not after likes. I'm not after followers. I'm not after LinkedIn connections. Actually, my performance, in inverted commas, is about the kingdom of God. So come quick, David. I'd rather you get the credit. Everybody needs a Joab in their life, and the way that you get one is by being one. When you look out, you see beyond yourself. Also, when you look out, you see beyond your problems. Think about Abraham for a minute. He's 75 years old. And God is speaking to him about doing this incredible adventure. And we know also from chapter 15 that he talks about him having children and his offspring being, you know, countless as the stars or the grains of sand on the shore. And yet Abraham had every excuse. Abraham had every reason. And right now, as God is doing something in you and you found yourself where you're at right now, God has brought you here for a reason, and you probably have the same list. Or not the same, but you probably still have the same in that you have a list of excuses. There are many reasons how and why we can see that this is not going to work. But in actual fact, when we look out, and we look at the people that God has put around us, when we recognize that what God is doing in me is not exclusively about me, it means that we start to look at our problems through the light or the lens of what God can do instead of through the lens of what I can do. I don't know if you can, if your faith affords you the right to believe that God's going to get you a breakthrough, but there's something about looking at someone else and you kind of think, well, I can believe God for that. There's something about taking your eyes off what you are walking through and looking at others and recognizing that, you know what, if I look out, it takes my eyes off my problems. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, Psalm 34, verse 3 says. In other words, stop magnifying the problem. Stop magnifying your circumstances. Stop magnifying your feelings. And for a minute, magnify the Lord with me, David says. Because David, like Abraham, had the excuses, he had the reasons, he had the circumstances, but instead of sitting cross-legged in them, he chose to get out, look up, look out, and all of a sudden he's able to say, come on, magnify the Lord with me. Because if we're going to magnify something, let's magnify the Lord. When I look out, It gives me a supernatural ability to see beyond my problems. Years ago, our neighbor, he's passed away now. I've told some of you this story before. Forgive me for repeating myself, but I think it's worthy of a moment. Our neighbor was kind of like a really shy, slightly strange guy. And we, as we'd moved in, we tried to get to know him and we tried to connect with him, and it just didn't really work. And if I'm being honest, he was a little bit rude. He would like kind of ignore us, and he seemed terrified of Zoe for some reason. I don't know why. She's small but powerful, I guess. It's like Napoleon. And I was having a bad day one time, and we had some circumstances that were not for us. And if I'm honest, I was kind of stuck in the middle of them. And Zoe had been for a run, as she does, and she came home and she said, "We need to find out when David's birthday is." Now, I was thinking about our problems. I was thinking about what we were going through, and she's thinking about the rude neighbor who never even bothers with us. So she said it, and I'm saying that this was the wrong thing to do. I kind of dismissed what she said, and then she gave me that wifey look that was like, "Oh, no, I wasn't just saying that. I need you to do something about it." And I looked at her and I said, "Well, it's not going to be today, is it?" I know. She didn't need to say anything else. She just looked at me again and I was like, "Fine, I'm going." So I went round to David's house with Riley. He would have been, I don't know, it was at primary school at that time. And we knocked on the door and he came to the door and basically said, "What do you want?" And so I just pushed Riley forward, because that's what you do as a parent. Just take a child with you. That sort of helps. And Riley said, "Oh, it's nearly my birthday, David." He said, "Oh, right." Riley says, "Oh, I want this for my birthday and I want that for my birthday." And I was like, "Right, fine, are we done?" And David said, "Oh, it's my birthday today." And in that moment, I was just like, this guy is like alone. And here's me just consumed by my own stuff. I just felt the weight of like heaven just like tap me on the shoulder. And I walked back into the house, and Zoe was at the sink with her back to the front door. And as I opened the door, I could tell she was smug. She went, just that move of the head. I just knew she was like, "I told you." I said, "It's today." She went, "Mm-hmm." We went off and we bought some chocolate, and kids made a card and we took it round to him. And he said, I'm not going to see anyone today. He was going to visit his mum in hospital, but she didn't recognize him. She was really poorly, because Riley wanted to open it. He wanted him to open it there and then. He said, "No, I'm going to take it with me to the hospital. I'm going to open it with my mum." See, when you look out, take your eyes off your problems. I'm not saying they don't exist. I went back to the same house with the same stuff. There's something different in my heart that changed, because I recognize what God is doing in me is not just about me. There are stories of people in this church who you would know who've got more excuses than me and you, and yet somehow they've dug deep. And think about Dave and Ann Adams, who in their 60s went to Hungary. Certainly a point in their life where you could have forgiven them for just, you know, hanging up their boots and just chilling out for a bit. And yet God spoke to them and they were like, "You know what, this is not just about us." And there'd be a whole group of people in Hungary that know Jesus because of God, but also because of their response to what God was saying to them. It's not just about you. Number three, when I look out, my household sees something different. Verse 5 says this: "He took his wife and his nephew." As I was thinking about this message and I was thinking about Abraham, I really felt God put on my heart that we should take a minute to pray for our children. Because there are many of us in this room that are parents, some of now adult children that have moved out and their lives are not as kind of proximity-wise or dependency-wise with us, but then also there's many of us whose children are young and that are in our households. And I just wanted to remind you that what God is doing in you is not going to bring any harm to your children. Obeying God, stepping out in faith does not God will not allow any decision you make in obedience to him to cause any damage to your children. In actual fact, our job can sometimes be to go the long way round so that what we give to our children is the shortcut. There is a rhetoric in society that's like, well, we went the long way round, so you're going to have to go the long way round. When I was your age, I didn't have, that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is you say to your children, you're the greatest achievement of my life, and no matter how you're behaving right now, I will give you the best of what God is doing in me. So if you're a parent, would you stand to your feet? Toba, do me a favor, run round, grab a microphone. Come and pray for us. If you're a parent, why don't you just begin to just thank God for your children? Come on, they're a gift from God. If you sat in your seat, why don't you reach your hands towards these people? Toba, just for 60 seconds, would you just pray for our children? Hallelujah.
Because children are a heritage from you. Thank you because our children are like arrows in the bow. Thank you because where we can reach, they're going to reach further. They're going to get better. They're going to get glorious. Their lives will be a blessing. Father, we thank you because we know whatsoever we keep in your hands, you watch over to perfect over every child in this house. Thank you for perfecting your purpose, your plan, your will in their lives. Glory to you, God, because we're at peace, because we know you do not sleep nor slumber, and you keep a watch over them. Blessed be your name. And the people of God will say,
amen, amen. Thank you, Toby. You can take your seats. I just really felt somebody needed to hear that today, that your children are going to be good. They're going to be safe. They're going to be happy. They're going to be fulfilled. And even those of you whose children right now, you look at them and they seem away from God, or they seem like not where you really hoped or dreamed they would be. Listen, God's not chewing his fingernails. He's not nervous. He's not up at night. He's actually watching over them. He's actually caring for them. He's actually drawing them home, not just to the church, but to you. He's bringing them home to you. And I'm prophesying that over every one of us in here who are parents in this room. When you look out, your whole household sees something different. Joshua echoed this sentiment. That's the word I was trying to think of in the last service for anybody who was there. Joshua echoed this sentiment that Abraham is sort of personifying in this moment by taking his wife and his nephew. Joshua did the same thing in Joshua chapter 24. I'm sure some of you will know this. Verse 15, he addresses all the people and says, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors or the gods of the enemy in whose land you are living. But as for me, here's the line. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Come on, someone needs to hear that. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. God has got your kids. When you look out, your household sees something different. And the last thing is we kind of bring it home to a point of like, okay, what do we actually do then? How do we look out? What does that look like in our lives? Well, the last thing I wanted to say is when I look out, I actually see others. The first point was when I look out, I take my eyes off myself. The last point is when I look out, I actually see others. The Bible says in verse 5, he took his wife, he took his nephew, and all the possessions they'd accumulated. And then the Bible says something about Abraham that I think is really special and unique, because it says that he took all of his possessions and the people that he had acquired. There was something about Abraham that if he was in a place for more than a few days, people just came and joined the team. Abraham had been in this place for some while, and of course he had his family and his nephew and his wife and all of that. But also, it seems like there were other people. Come on, there's someone in your friendship group who always just seems to pick randomers up along the way. I know who it is in our friendship group. And sometimes you're like, what? Like, who is this person? Oh, I just met him, you know. But I actually think what Abraham is teaching us here is that what God is doing in me is not just about me. God is going to bring people into your life, even this summer, even before we get back. And if not, then when we do, when we get back into the rhythm of life, and you're going to find yourself in new situations and new scenarios, meeting new people. And instead of just kind of having your head down and just being like, okay, I'm focused, I'm in the zone, which, you know, I believe in diligence, by the way. I think we should do. I think God's not finished with your life yet. I don't think it's time to retire. I'm just saying that whilst we're being diligent in all that God's put in our hands, why don't we look up and look out and recognize that the people God has brought into your life, that new person in the office, that new person who you just keep seeing all the time at the gym, whatever it is that perhaps God is doing something in you enough for it to overflow into the lives of the people around you. This church has never been about just us. It's always been about the city of Manchester. It's always been about the city of Cardiff and Sheffield and Geneva. It's always been about Great Britain. It's always been about the nations of the world, because we believe that although church should be a party, and that's one of our things, we love that. It's not a private party. It should be a party, and we'll work hard to make sure it is, so that when people walk through the doors, they're like, wow, I wasn't expecting that. That is our thing. We're good at that. But let me tell you, it's not a private party. The doors are open. The walls are see-through. We believe that what God is doing in us is not just about us. Dave Adams just texted me. He must be watching online. Hi, Dave. He's had an operation this week. Just give a wave to Dave Adam. He might be in the room. I don't know. We've got to see others. It's so easy in our life to judge people by their actions, whilst wanting to be judged ourselves by our intentions. We say things like, well, I didn't mean it that way, or I was having a bad day that day. And yet, when it comes to the other people that God's put in our lives, we can easily just be like, well, they were rude, or they weren't very warm, or I've heard someone say that before. You criticize someone, you should walk a mile in their shoes. Also heard someone say, then you can say what you want about them because you'll be a mile away and they'll have no shoes on. I just thought that were funny. But come on, you never know what someone else is carrying in their heart. When someone's sharp with you at the till, there's no people at tills anymore, there's just machines, but you know what I'm saying. When someone cuts you up, or there's someone at work who just always seems to be like, you're trying, but it's not. Listen. Maybe what God is doing in you is not just about you. It's actually about that person. What, that person? Can you not choose someone else, God? No, maybe it's about that person. So come on, where you are, why don't you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray two prayers. As we close our service, Pastor Hannah's going to pray one, and I'm going to pray the first one. But where you are, why don't you just put your hand over your heart? And as we pray, I want us to remember that what God is doing in you is not just about you. So right now, I'm asking that God will bring to your heart and to your mind just one person, a bit out of the ordinary, a bit, you know, out of the circle maybe, that in the next 7 days, you're going to take what God is doing in you, the joy that you have found, the peace that you experience, the love and the acceptance that you have found, and you're actually going to do something towards reaching out to them. That this week you're going to send a message, you're going to put your arm around someone, you're going to pray for someone, you're going to be generous and give them something that you know will bless their life. So come on, lock that person in. Who is it? Who is it that God is bringing to your heart right now? Father, I pray for every single person in church this morning. We thank you for what you're doing in us. Thank you that what you're doing in us is significant, and you've taken us from where we were and you brought us to where we are. We're looking towards the future with hope and anticipation about what you want to do next, but we also recognize that it's not just about us. We thank you for all of the wonderful people that you've put in our lives. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this city. Thank you for all of the fabric of our relational kind of network. But God, right now, we just pray in the next 7 days, would you use us? Use us to encourage, use us to be generous. Use us to just pray so that we will always know that when you do something in us, we have the responsibility to look out at those that you've put around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.